Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Hi, everyone. Oh, this is cute. So hi, everyone, and welcome to our session today. It's based around cultivating culture and the power of Africa in fashion, music and the arts. So allow me to introduce UTA. UTA stands for United Talent Agency. We are a dynamic force in the entertainment realm, connecting brands with top-tier talent for impactful campaigns that resonate across diverse audiences. Some of you may know some of the artists that we represent. Bad Bunny, for example, Cardi B, Post Malone, Burna Boy, just to name a few. So we're really doing our thing, guys. So today, without further ado, I want to introduce my amazing panel here. I have Cho Manadi, who is named Head of Editorial Content for British Vogue. She began her career at the features desk of the Evening Standard magazine in London before moving to New York City. That's where I met you, New York, to write for Trace magazine. In September 2020, Choma was appointed editor of Vogue.com and the global network lead, where she oversaw the digital team and editorial content for the site. She also serves as a co-host for the Vogue podcast, The Run Through. So give Choma a round of applause, guys. And then at the end there, guys, you see how we coordinate. We said like black stripes, black, because, you know, it's a fashion panel. So, you know, we have to give it to you. It's Grace Ladoja. She is founder of Homecoming Festival and co-founder of Metallic Inc., which incorporates the intersection of music, culture and global connectivity. Established in 2017, Metallic Inc. is a global cultural studio that seamlessly connects artists, brands and youth culture. A festival is actually where me and Choma first were connected in Lagos together. I want to big this up because I don't think it gets said enough that Grace is probably the only female festival, self-funded festival owner.
Wow.
That title, I think, is a pretty big deal. Grace's efforts have been recognised within music, and she has an MBE. For her contributions towards music. And she's also a Nike creative partner influencing the global rebrand of the Nigeria football jersey, which I believe today is the fastest selling football jersey for Nike ever. Yeah. So give it up for Grace, guys.
Can you introduce me everywhere I go, please?
Okay, so let's get into it. I guess I'm going to start with you, Grace.
Okay.
Like I mentioned earlier, in 2018, we were all in Nigeria together for homecoming. And that was also the year that Nigeria arguably had the best jersey. And you being creative partner with Nike and for football. What was the strategy around revealing the kit on Skepta during your festival? And how do you, and bringing people like Choma and myself to Lagos?
First of all, thank you for having me, Adweek, UTA and Irene. I think it's amazing to be here and just be platformed as black women. So 2018 feels like a long time ago, and it was probably one of the best years of my life, I'd say, because I was in a really good place. I was managing Skepta, who was arguably one of the most important British artists. I had started my festival the first year. We decided to do a festival in Lagos, Nigeria to celebrate art, music, fashion and culture. And I just worked on this Nike jersey, and I'm a huge Arsenal fan. I'm a football fan. I'm an England fan. And Nike came to me and they were like, we want to authenticate this jersey. We want to authentically tell the story. We want to push our boundaries on diversity, all the buzzwords you'll know about. And then I just was like, you know what? Let's just use the power of community. Let's use the power of community and the diaspora community and the African community and the Nigerian community to just authentically tell this story and position it in a way that feels effortless. And I felt like, having it being first launched on Skepta in a live performance in a show in Nigeria, they say that the holy trinity of culture in Nigeria is music, football and religion. So I was like, we've got music and football. We've got Skepta, who's a diaspora, he's a Nigerian British man. We've got, you know, all these moments. Let's invite some of our most profound, amazing friends and family to this experience. And I think that doesn't get done enough anymore. Like, we were like, let's hand pick who should be there. So obviously I'd known Shoma for a while, and she was working at Vogue and she was really supportive of what we were trying to do. And she's Nigerian too. So we were like, let's curate this moment so we can all talk about this experience together. And it was just so well received, because the power at that time of football and music coming together really amplified that story. So yeah, that was kind of the thinking behind it.
And then to follow on from that, Shoma, because obviously that was one of your, was that your first time back in a long time? Or was it your first time back?
It was. I actually went the following year.
Yeah.
Because I saw how amazing it was. I'd sent a writer to cover and I got jealous. Because I think we met at Lagos Fashion Week.
Mm-hmm.
And the trip was really, it was transformative for me. I remember actually, I think Rima performed and you told me about Rima. And this was, he was like a 19.
It was his first ever performance.
my mind was blown, and just feeling the energy of the crowd. And also just understanding kind of the cultural influence of Lagos and the scene, and understanding that there's like this huge young community. I don't think we understand that, you know, Africa as a continent has one of the youngest populations, and you feel that creative energy. Like, it just feels like a center, like it feels like a vital force in Lagos specifically. And I've been interested in fashion. Obviously I have a personal connection to Nigeria, and, you know, Nigerian designers have kind of led the way in West African fashion. But I think from a personal perspective, I don't think I really felt the force or like that holy trinity until I went to homecoming. And then it sort of a light bulb went off in my head. And you know, recently I was talking to Tyler's manager, and
yes, Colin.
You know, and he was telling the story of like, because I was like, how did you end up in South Africa? You know, you're American, and I think it's quite a kind of brave move to just up your entire family, like two kids, and go to South Africa. And he was just like, well, I was sitting in a meeting and someone challenged me and said, well, if you're so about the culture, why aren't you there? You know, and I think that's when I realized that you have to be part of it. You have to be part of the conversation. You have to see it for yourself. You have to be in it to really feel it, right? And to get it. And that was what homecoming was. So it was a real kind of perspective shifting moment for me. So thank you.
And that means a lot. Do you know what? Because my number one goal with homecoming was to make an entry point for people to enter a new environment and feel at home. And that was the number one thing. So you saying that kind of like is enough to warrant the efforts. Mm. So thank you so much. And thank you for coming.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have to give... I know you're moderating. I think we should just make this like... You need to be part of this.
Am I part? Am I in the convo?
Yes, because okay. I remember... So I went to Lagos Fashion Week, I think, maybe a couple of years prior. Mm-hmm. And Irene, you were helping out. Mm-hmm. And to be honest... I didn't feel as connected to Nigeria as perhaps you do, or perhaps Grace you do. And it had been a while since I'd been to Nigeria. It had been years. I think I went as a 7-year-old, and going to Lagos as an adult was a completely different experience. I had some apprehension. I thought, will I feel a connection? Will I be able to relate? Irene just had the keys to the city. And like my interest in like the culture and the fashion and seeing kind of how all those things are related. You know, and understanding that there's just, you know, and then I think we'd work together on so many things. And, you know, I ended up doing a big story on Wizkid for
Pop-Up.
For the Pop-Up and then a big profile. Yeah. So it was very cool to see things as they were, you know,
golden.
Yeah, it was just like that was the beginning, right? I mean, you have to.
I'll be honest though, I kind of leveraged our friendship because no one else was really trying to write about Afrobeats. Let's be honest, and I was like, I've got the best artist in the world, which I'm pretty much sure everyone said. But I'm like, there's this kid who's like the Michael Jackson of Africa, like, you know, he's doing great things. We're doing his first New York pop up. Will you please come and like cover it for me? And like, I think because of the way you supported and was just like, you were always open to like, you know, whether it be like now, like seeing how amazing Tyler's doing, or like, you know, at the beginning, like covering, you know, Burna Boy at his first like Met Stadium. And like, I think for us, it was like, I always knew that I could support, like had someone who was in my corner and who was, gave me the platform to be able to amplify artists who, to be fair, were highly underrepresented in the media. And I think even when I look at some of the stats that are kind of UTA department has uncovered, that like Afrobeats music last year was streamed 13 billion times. And that's like a 575% increase over the previous 5 years. So kind of, I guess I would maybe bounce the question back to you, given this explosive growth and the trends that you're seeing now from when we were originally like over there, like what, 2018, 2019 to now, what kind of trends are you seeing specifically in regards to like fashion? Because I know we've got a room full of marketeers here who might be interested in showing up in that space authentically.
Yeah, I mean, the fashion space is so important. And what I think has been really exciting to see is that, you know, so many great streetwear brands, you know, because I think obviously, you know, music and streetwear go together so well. You know, when I went to, I can't remember, it was either you or Grace who introduced me to Waffles and Cream. Yes. And, you know, I mean, and for me, it was just like incredible to see. And now in Ghana, there's
the youth.
Really.
Yeah.
And I think that's when it kind of gets interesting, when you see young people really owning that space, because, you know, young people all over the world want to, you know, emulate the look of Burna Boy and Wizkid. And I think it's really important that there are brands that kind of reflect where he's from. You know, the look, the feel, the sound. And now there are these brands that are doing that. And obviously I was coming from a more high fashion space. So, you know, we have brands like Kenneth Ize and Amakio. But I was very much drawn from a cultural perspective and from an impact perspective to like Free the Youth and Waffles and Cream. And I know that there was a brand also that I'm forgetting that I know that, wasn't there another skate brand that I'm forgetting?
Motherland.
Motherland.
Yeah.
Motherland. That was, you know, so I think the big shift that I saw was that there was a pride taken in like Nigerian heritage and not wanting to wear brands that were from America or from the West. And that was exciting to me. And then to see that kind of, you know, London is kind of the crossroads of the diaspora, in my opinion. Like, it always comes through London, and geographically, like, we're kind of on the, you see that kind of arc, you know, traveling from America through to Nigeria and the rest of the continent. And so I think that now you see that outside of the continent, the people are gravitating towards these brands, and that's what makes it exciting to me.
Do you know what's why that's really interesting? Is because I feel like during COVID, there was a huge shift in that. I think that when you think about it, you mentioned the population. So Nigeria alone's population is 230 million people. 70% are under 30. 70% of 230 million people are under 30. 43% are under 15, right? That's the future. They're online. Everyone's on Instagram, Twitter, etc. So I feel like in that time when we were sitting still, we felt the impact of like Africa and the diaspora coming together. They, you know, they, when you look at like a show in London now, Burna Boy can outsell Dave, Skepta, Stormzy. The power of the diaspora is so strong. And I think that that's underused in brands. Like, when we just did a thing with WhatsApp with Yanis, who's an incredible basketball player from Nigeria. We did a film with him back in Lagos. He did his story first time home, and we took that film to just the diaspora cities in America, and it was huge. It was like he was back in Lagos, and I was like, this is an underused part of marketing, like marketing to that vast number of people. And when you think about even the Grammys, so Tyler, great example of a, and the Met, Tyler, and you think about the power of the internet, Tyler is trending as number one because of the power of Africa. She's solely trending because the amount of people that are talking about her in the continent. So you need to think about using that power to sell the story, the message, etc. That's the first time I've heard Balmain spoken about in years. I'm not going to lie. I'm not even lying.
To be honest, I'll share that with you. Because her manager had, well, no, her PR had texted me a picture, because obviously I work a little bit with the American team when it comes to the Met and what everyone's wearing. She texted me a picture of the Balmain illustration. And to be honest, I didn't love it.
Yeah.
And I said, love this. I'm not sure. Yeah. And she was like, well, actually, you know, he was one of the few brands that really... And I was like, the other brands are losing out. And I eat my words now, because she ate. She did. So beautiful. And it was the number one trending story globally in, you know, for Vogue.
And that's what I think that the biggest lesson can be learned is that work with things that may feel a little bit risky to you, but back people and that are doing it already. Tyler's already done it. Tyler had the most impressions on TikTok. Yeah. 2.1 billion TikTok impressions last year of people using her music.
Yeah.
I would back Tyler. Her data
was shown. Well, we represent Tyler.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying that. So it's not hard to find out who is authentic.
Yeah.
It's not hard to find an agency that's killing it in Africa. Yeah. It's not hard to find a streetwear brand that is outselling Supreme in Africa.
Yeah.
It's not hard to find that data.
Yeah.
So use that to amplify the collaborative parts of other brands, is what I would say.
I think it's just doing the work.
Yeah.
That's what I think it comes down to, because it isn't as easily accessed. And I feel like that's why it also comes back to having diverse teams and being able to, like, you know, utilize those teams and their knowledge and to kind of guide in the right way. Grace, I want to talk to you a little bit about beauty, because I know we've touched on fashion. And I know beauty is obviously a huge space, huge marketing opportunity. And obviously, I was with you last year when you brought, you know, Byredo, when you brought MAC Topicals to Lagos for the first time. How big do you feel like beauty is going to be in Africa? And how important is it to kind of really stay true? Because I feel like sometimes we're going to be talking the things on these platforms. It's people come in with their box and they want to kind of up and lift it and then bring the same box. And I feel like sometimes there's no flexibility to work with how the actual territory that you're trying to enter works with.
Yeah.
So what have you seen across that kind of beauty space, and, you know, what should brands be thinking about when they're thinking of coming into the space?
I think beauty is really interesting, but I think I'm looking at it more from the power of the influencers of beauty in Africa. Yeah. I think that the products are interesting, but there are, you know, like, there's a lot of work to be done on making the products better, in my opinion, in Africa. But what I would say is that so a brand like Topicals, have you heard of Topicals? Topicals, like, she's the first female to black female to raise 10 million under 25. She raised that really quickly. She has, like, so many amazing people on her investment portfolio. But Topicals is a great example of a brand. It's a brand that is very hungry to own that diaspora space. So instead of doing trips in the US, she was like, I want to launch in Nigeria with your cultural festival. And I really want to connect with influencers. I want to have influence around my brand. So she started doing these brand trips where she'll bring people, a diverse range of people, to her, to, like, Lagos on her trip, let them talk about that trip by using her product only. And she was, I think she was trending on TikTok for about 3 weeks over Christmas and New Year, because just the amount of people that were seeing, like, what was happening in the continent through her brand. And her, I invested in her brand after that, actually. But she's overperforming, because she's just utilizing a space which is just underlooked. And the same with Ben from Byredo, very smart. He has Bal d'Afrique, which is an amazing fragrance. And he was like, I just want to get this fragrance on the people it was made about. So he didn't have a big agenda. So we did, like, a really nice gifting suite for him. And we had these products sold in one of the best stores in Lagos, Alara. And we also did, like, an influencer kind of experience. But he still talks about it to me to this day. He says, like, we were spoken about so much. My content team didn't know who to repost, what to do. You didn't tell me the volume we were going to receive from that. So I just think that those moments show that there are authentic ways to do it. I think look at community. Always think of a starting point of entering. So you're either going to enter through a talent, you're going to enter through an agency, you're going to enter through an influencer. Just connect with that person and start there. Start there, because they will open you up to a new area in the world that will allow you to be way more authentic than thinking that you're going to do it yourself. I think that the mistake I never make as someone that owns an agency. Check my agency out, Metallic Inc. We've worked on, you know, we're one of Nike's biggest partners. We always know that someone's doing it better where we are. Wherever I go in the world, I'm like, if I go to Ghana, someone has an agency. They know how to connect to the community better than me. I'm going to work with them. And it takes a bit of time, but do a little bit of work. It's a day's work. So you authentically fast track yourself. I'm always like, I'm not going to bring a whole crew there. There's probably a crew of great people that can do this themselves. And you know what happens? Everyone starts talking about their experience or being part of that project. So you get way more data from it. You get the photographer talking about it, the art director, all the people that got amplified in that story. So I would say that those are some of my big learnings from working on those projects.
Yeah, I think when I came to UTA 2 years ago, and part of the reason why I was so passionate about going into an internal corporate infrastructure was the power of really being, one, having direct relationships with all of the talent that I represent on my roster. And I'm really, when I sit here and we speak about Tyler and we speak about Burna Boy, like, I know, like, and Grace and Chom, you all know, like, behind the scenes, how much work has gone into that. It's been like 8, 9, 10 years of grinding to kind of get the commercial recognition that these brands deserve. And I do feel like there's definitely people who have put in the work for the likes of Tyler and all of those guys to be kind of on that platform now. I do want to kind of shift it a little bit to women, because I feel like, especially with Tyra and Ira Star, again, who are both UTA clients, I think that we've seen in the last few years, like, the real rise of the females, because it was always a power three before, when we were talking specifically with Afrobeats, who were kind of, you know, Wizkid, Burna Boy, David and Davido, right? So I think now we've really seen a really powerful surge of the females really taking over. We can look at Thames, we can see Ira, we can see Tyler, you know. So I would love to kind of hear a bit from you more, Chom, and what you're kind of seeing and the trends that are leading, and how do you feel like as women, as well as women of colour, how we're represented in the media?
I think that shift is super important, and it's one I think we're seeing generally across music, because you see it in hip-hop. I've never seen so many great female rappers. You're seeing that shift happening. And why I think it's particularly important for, you know, in this space is because, as, you know, Grace was saying, there, and you were saying, there is this potential for this is untapped beauty and fashion influence, right? You know, I think it's so meaningful, especially to have women like Thames and Tyler for the continent, you know, for women on the continent. And there is a real opportunity, I think, to tap that market as far as beauty and fashion, because I still think that the fashion and beauty brands haven't quite woken up to just how much the potential's there. And I think that what you did at Homecoming was a great example. And I'm glad that the brands like Byredo are beginning to see that this is an important space.
That's true.
Yeah, and I think with the rise of, like, there's a new stadium that's going to open in Lagos next year, I think December 2025. So I think with that, there will be seeing more international artists touring the continent and real big opportunity. I do want to open the floor up to some questions, but I have one last question for the panel before I do. So please make sure that you've submitted a question in the app, because we're going to refer back to the app for any questions. But bearing that this room is full of marketeers, but to both of you, if you could tell them one way to shop authentically or how to activate in that space, what would that be? Grace, I'll let you go first.
I'd say...
Advice would you give to brands and agencies that are thinking of coming into the space?
I'd say amplify talent that are there. I'd say, like, look at talent that are there and amplify them. I would say that the power of community is really important in any campaign you do in Africa. Like, as I said, like, everything really is based around community. So try to, whatever brand or product you're working with, try to bring it into a community and, like, let them feel part of it. We just did a run with our friends at Pata. Mm-hmm. Pata, who's a Dutch brand, they have a running collaboration. And they were like, we want to do a run in Lagos. And I said to them, they were like, we want to start a run club. And I was like, no, you're not going to start a run club. We're going to amplify a run club that is in Lagos already, and we're going to partner with them, and you are going to help amplify their voice. And go on their page now. It's the most spoken about out of all the run clubs. But it's just that simple. It's just, you do exactly the same thing. You just rephrase it a little bit. You look like, what is leading? Is Pata going to come to Lagos and do a run club? No, there's a Lagos run club that we're going to amplify. That's what I mean by that. It's just like, there's such an easy mechanic in that. The same with, like, there's a lot of photographers that are amazing in the continent. And I think that in terms of campaign, that's the easiest way to access authentically. So, like, amplifying, like, there's so many great photographers that have actually come out of Nigeria.
Who, like, and, even
Stephen Tayo, like, oh my God, amazing photographers.
Like, yeah.
So I think that that's another way. Like, just even if there's one part of authenticity in it, that starts the conversation. So it's a little bit harder. But get young people in your offices, in your agencies that love that world. I have young people around me all the time. I look young. I'm not as young as I am. I have these very annoying young people that come to my office weekly. They ask me for loads of stuff, but then I sit down and I tell them what I'm working on. I'm like, I'm working on these things. What do you think we should do? And they always have something valuable to add. So surround yourself with, like, young people. It takes one intern to change the whole trajectory of your company. Honestly, it's so true, and it does happen. So,
anything to add, Sue?
Well, I think that's pretty comprehensive. But one thing I would add was, I think it's about making a sustained relationship too, not just like a one and done kind of. You want to show that you're actually making a real investment in these communities and not just going in and taking, like, make sustained partnerships, make things that will have lasting impact so that you can grow with people.
I'm going to refer it to the Q&A. There's some questions here. The first one, actually, I'm really excited about because I feel like we've touched on Motherland, but we haven't really specifically spoke about Sloan. And the first question here is, how are you guys supporting African artists, sculptors and painters? The art is incredible and is incredible and needs a platform. I can talk about it from an artist's music. I think I have probably the biggest Afrobeat roster at any agency in the world. I represent Tyler, I represent Burna Boy, I represent Wizkid, I represent Iris Star. Oh, am I forgetting anyone on W Trouble?
You're good.
What? I think those are the big ones, the heavy hitters. There's a few more.
Yeah.
DK, we have. Omole, we have. So, Odimodu Black, we have. So, a huge comprehensive one. And I think it makes me really proud because I get to speak about my heritage and my culture in these kind of environments, but also allow a space where in the corporate world, I am the spokesperson for Afrobeats and the champion. I guess when it relates to more arts and culture, I did want to touch on Sloan.
You've
done something really amazing.
Yes. I will do it quickly, but first of all, in terms of arts, one of the biggest platforms in Africa is ArtX. Check her out, Tokini. She's created an amazing platform. But from more a cultural perspective, that when we was first did Homecoming, actually we asked, we did a call to action to young graphic designers. Three of them came from this brand called Motherland. They were 15 at the time. One of them was called Sloan, one of them was called Leo, and one of them was called Onyedi. So they bothered us. Those people that I talk about, they literally harassed me and my co-founder for about a year. They were like, we want to move to London. We want to go to art school, etc. We managed to rally up people that would allow us to bring them to London, to put them through school, etc. Now, at 23, they've both gone on to do amazing things. So when you identify talent, as you said, back them. So the investment we've put into them has led to him designing the Brit Award. He just designed the FA Cup, which I don't think has ever been
and
done for Sloan. Sloan's made millions of dollars from his paintings.
Yeah.
He's energized his whole community. He's doing so much at home at 23. And the same with Leo. Leo is more of a refined artist. He's getting into the sculptural world. He's challenging the norms of how artistry should be. These are two young people, both under 25 from Lagos, that just moved here because they saw an opportunity and they ran with it. So I'm so proud of the work that they've done and the impact that they've had. They're disrupting the art world. Check out Sloan now. He's the most disruptive and annoying young person that I know, but really inspirational because when you look at young people, and I talk about youth a lot because they're the future, no matter what we say, we can't deny it. We have to look at them. When you see the change that, you know, Leo is making, Sloan, and even Clint, I'll put in that same as Cortez, Cortez is like shitting on any streetwear brand in the world. Like he can do whatever he wants because he has the young people behind him and he sells out. So you as a marketer can't do that, right? But what you can do is think about what's in that space, where can we connect with and what impact can we have? Don't try and copy it. That's not the route, but you can amplify it. You can support it. You can connect with it. You can look at what's next. And I think that that's really important, actually.
Anything to add there, C, before we
wrap up? No, I'm a big fan of Slawn. In fact, it was really important in my first issue to have Slawn be part of it, you know, and we spotlighted
her. Another person you met at homecoming. Everyone comes to homecoming.
So it's really been exciting to see his rise, you know, and there's so many, I mean, I think there's so many artists, like you said, Tokini's and her, what she's doing with her art fair. And then there's the Senegal Biennial.
Exactly.
So there's so much happening in Africa.
And on that note, guys, the beeper is flashing at me, so we need to close it up now. But I would love to thank my two guests, Choma and Grace, for being and representing. And this has been amazing. If you guys are interested, please follow them on Instagram, follow us on Instagram. And thank you to our UTA Culture and Marketing Department for having us and putting on this amazing platform. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @advertisingweek and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.